Hey listeners, welcome back to The Glam Chemist. I'm your host, Genesis Velasquez, and this week we are with Nicole again, the curly chemist. And I have to be honest, this conversation was so long and we chatted for almost 3 hours. So we actually have a couple of parts to this episode, but today we're talking a little bit about our experiences in the workplace. There's a lot we cover, but a lot of it is having lived through, you know, the worst part of the pandemic in 2020 and settling into the workspace, knowing when to leave a space and really finding your value as an employee and enforcing that with employers. I find this conversation really validating to know that someone else experienced the same things I did and it wasn't just an isolated feeling. I hope you guys appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. And you and I have talked about this at length, but I'll let you give your experience and I'm pretty sure we'll find a way through this conversation together.
This is a loaded conversation. It's a layered conversation. Mm-hmm. And she's right. You know, like when you come out of school or grad school and you start into the working force, everyone goes through different things. So unfortunately, sometimes you work for you have situations that are not good for you. All of us go through different hard things. I bet if you ask any working person something crazy that happened with them, they will tell you these stories. And so we've definitely bonded on just shared experiences of not being in the most healthy environments and what that did to us and the choices we had to make. I think one of the biggest things we talked about is just knowing when to call it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're in fortunate circumstances, meaning like you make enough money, you have money saved and you can like afford to maybe like get another job, then, you know, it's definitely a time to think, okay, is this place good for me? And some personalities are better than that than others. Like I have a friend mm-hmm. whose personality, literally, if something is not feeding her, like if something is not for her, she's gone. And I've always been impressed and kind of like scared because that's not my personality. My personality will try to stick it out and try to fix it and insist that this can be fixed. Yeah. And that can leave me in bad situations for a lot longer. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's a fault in like our own character. My friend that's exactly that way is actually Ariel. You guys have met her on the podcast. She is a no-nonsense kind of human and I respect and admire that. I will be the person that's like, oh, there's some redeeming qualities to this. And that I will stick it out in something that to me will always look like an opportunity because it's a job. And she's like, no, these people don't deserve me. And I've obviously been giving more than I'm receiving from this experience. And she just bows out. And it's something that I wish I had the strength to do, but I'll hold on to like that last piece of thread thinking that yes. It's like, it's going to change or I'll fit in, I'll make it work.
Yes,
and
yes.
Ultimately it weighs on me to the point where like, I crumble underneath it. And I've learned that. And you and I have spoken about that too. It's like, I didn't realize that this could have like a long-term effect on me, but yeah, it's just one of those things that I want to learn. I really do.
But I think we are learning. Cause you know, even where we are now is the result of learning. You know what I mean? Because like you go through so many different things. Like I've had blatantly sexist people in charge. I've heard microaggressions and racist undertones in meetings. Like I have like things I can recall, things that made me literally cringe in my office as I was hearing a colleague say something or do something. I've seen such like abusive things in power and just crazy things. There was once where a coworker who he ended up having to leave because he was just accused of some really bad stuff with another coworker. It was just a lot of stuff. And I remember like when I met him, I was like, there are some vibes here that make me feel really uncomfortable. And I was very young. Yeah. And I remember Googling like, is a coworker supposed to say that to you? And sometimes you don't always have resources even in your workplace. Like sometimes your company's small and they don't necessarily know how to deal with that or they don't want to deal with that. And it's just a lot you go through. So in terms of just like knowing when to call it.
Have you always kind of had that intuition to know like, oh, this place isn't really what I thought it was going to be? Or are you the delayed reaction like me? Because some people have the good intuition about it.
Well, people do. And what you said before, there is the thing of like, I mean, you can call it selfish, but maybe it's more like self-focused and you're like, this isn't good for me. I've been feeling vibes for a month. I'm gone. And like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like there are people who can really pick up on something and they're like, and I've seen it. Like I've worked with in places where like positions where there's high turnover and I've seen people try to stick it out. They're like their year and they're dealing with crap and they are getting blamed for stuff. They're not even like have the power to be involved in like, and they are just dealing with it. And they end up finally leaving and like their supervisor, whoever, like totally blames everything that went wrong because they left, even though they're in a position where they shouldn't have that much power to begin with. But anyways, that's just called a flawed system. And I've seen people take on those roles. Like I've seen the funniest things where they're like, they're 3 months and they're like, this stinks. I'm out. I already have a new job. You're not even getting 2 weeks notice. And like, you look at that and you could hear like people saying like, oh my gosh, like how unprofessional. They didn't give 2 weeks notice. This is going to follow them. I'm like, no, they already have a new job. And like, and like the, people don't care as much about that 3 month thing because they've, you know, there's, you know, unless it's like a company that they know, they're not going to necessarily care that, oh, he stayed for 3 months. Maybe it was just a really bad position or who knows, like he left because he wasn't going to stick it out for 2 years just to be miserable. And I've admired that because I don't have that. I am a hard worker. I think I'm a hard worker and I do like to see if I can change it. I mean, it's funny. I am two people. I can be the people pleaser, you know, the person who wants everyone to like them, but I can also be confrontational, meaning if there's an issue, I want to sit you down and I want to tell you because I don't want to deal with it anymore. And I always find those dynamics interesting because you can be confrontational, meaning you're like, sit someone down, which I have in my working experience when I felt wronged and I've had to set multiple boundaries because there was multiple things going wrong. And, but then I'm like thinking in my head, do they like me? Which is, I actually talked about it with my therapist because I just was like, what in the world is that? Like, how can you like confront situations? And not everyone's able to confront things and, but also be so hyper-focused on like, do they like you? Like they might
Did I hurt their feelings? Did that hurt?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, did I hurt their feelings?
Yeah.
I remember like I went to my friends and I was like constantly complaining how unhappy I was. And I was just not being the person I know I could be. And I just was letting this, it was weighing on me so personally. And I remember one of my friends said, you have the power to go. It's been months of you just telling us and complaining to us about this situation. Why are you still there? What are you doing to change it? Because I can only empathize so much. And I remember feeling like, okay, like, well, gee, but then I thought about it and I was like, no, you know what? You're actually making sense because I do have the power to change the situation. Yeah. And I need to look into that. And if I don't want to change the situation, I need to shut up. So yeah.
It's not fair to the person around you too, because you're constantly carrying that home. And there was a time where I remember going to my favorite restaurant every Friday and having nothing but like negative energy and negative things to spew out because I had such a rough week. So like, I couldn't allow everyone around me to settle and I couldn't allow everybody around me to relax because I was carrying this burden with me all the way home. And like, I couldn't let it go. I couldn't shake it. And it's not fair to my friends to have heard me just be miserable and also not make a change for myself. So I did get that same spiel.
I remember someone telling me like, oh, wait till you cry about work one day. And I was like, why are you just telling me this? Am I supposed to just
also
like
that?
I mean, I have been there. She was right. Like she was absolutely right. Like you will cry at work or about work. And I've done both. Like I've cried. I was telling her like my crying spot when things are really getting a low point for me, I used to go to a Starbucks because, you know, Starbucks is a happy point for
you
me.
And I have,
so I used to go to, oh really?
Yeah.
Thank you to Starbucks. Thank you for having parking lots that we can sit in and cry. Yeah. I would go to Starbucks. I would get some drink. I would go sit in my car, put the air conditioner on. And I literally would just bawl. Like when it was really low, I had points where I would cry and drink Starbucks and then like play music and like go to work and be like, put on my work face, which is like, hi.
Just like get it all out in one quick. Yeah. I remember so clearly getting on the subway whenever the conductor would be like, stand clear of the closing doors, please. My tears would just start rolling down and I would cry all the way to work, to the point where people like on the subway would like, you know, that subtle thing of New Yorkers like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's just, I'm going to work. But I would just sit there like solace, like no words, no whimpers, just the tears would roll down my face all the way to work. And then I'd like clean up my face, walk into work with my coffee and just put on a brave face. And one time I ran into someone I knew from college on the train and she was like, Genesis, are you okay? It's 7:30. I'm like,
it's 7:30.
I'm fine. I'm just going to work. I think like she truly thought like something awful happened to me. I was like, yeah, just on my way to work. I'm sorry. How are you?
Like, can you imagine? That's just how you are starting your day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like awful. Every day is a day to be thankful for. And like, yeah, there's that perspective too that goes in your head when you're in a bad situation. You're like, I need to be thankful. I'm alive. I am working. And those are all true statements, but it's tough because your mental health is important. And I do think our generation is remembering that our mental health is all we have at the end of the day, and that we have to make these decisions for ourselves, you know, even if that is, you know what, I'm just not happy here, but I'll take a lower pay cut and I'll be happier and I'll have my like a different pace. And we make these decisions. We sometimes do say that maybe we don't need to climb the corporate ladder. Maybe that's not the journey for us. And there are more decisions for us because there are more platforms. That is true. You know, like there weren't nearly as many ways. Well, at least I don't think there were nearly as many ways to make money. I mean, you see all these people just making money, having social media content and leaving their jobs. Like we have so many different ways we can be successful, kind of going through all these things that we go through. Isn't necessarily our only choice.
I totally get that. For our listeners, a sidebar is Nicole and myself are currently in therapy. Obviously, we've mentioned a couple times in this conversation, but we connected recently because I'm actually in therapy as a result of a recent job experience. And I didn't realize that that had affected me so much. I guess it was like the compounding of the pandemic, the amount of workload that I had, just like the full-on burnout and emotional toll that it took on me right as it was like the worst. I remember, again, one of these days where like, I remember there was a time in December, I opened up my computer working from home and it booted up and I just started to cry. I just started to cry knowing that like, I didn't want to do this anymore. And I saw the amount of emails in my inbox and I was just like, I can't find a way out of this by myself. And I've asked for help and it wasn't available to me. And I just remember being like, I can't do this anymore. And I kind of broke something in me as opposed to just kind of breaking the tie with the company. And then that following month, I started therapy because I knew like it was like December. It was right before Christmas that happened. It was like the time around my birthday. And I remember opening up the computer and just bawling and knowing like, I can't do this anymore. And to the point where like, I was praying, like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm happy with my job. And during a pandemic, I was able to stay home for 2 years, like all these things of like the pros and cons lists of like, I'm lucky that I'm home. I have an income. I haven't lost my job. Then I'm giving so much of myself. I don't have a break in my own home. Like I mentioned this to you, this company, and I guess now people will know who it was, but they had us on video chat all day long. And we were all just staring at each other in a virtual meeting every
day. When she told me this, like, I mean, honestly, I don't know what every company is doing. But you know, I am very fortunate that I hardly turn on my camera and I to leave it on all day and to kind of be like watched, like, it's almost like you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. It was like big brothery. It was so weird. And like, I felt odd, like even getting up to make lunch or like getting up to get more coffee. I remember like, we used to tell each other like, hey, I'm taking my lunch break now and like log off. It was like the strangest culture because I wouldn't do that at work. I wouldn't tell you, oh, I'm going to go take my lunch break. I'll see you later. Like I just leave.
Yeah, that's very micromanaging of time because it's like, do not trust me to take 45 minutes. And you know, at home, we talked about this because I should have actually started therapy earlier. I just wasn't quite aware of my resources. I left a job and this is God. I mean, I know it was God for me because I left the job right before the pandemic started. And, you know, and like, it was funny, like I moved and when I left the job, there was a lot of emotional things that like happened because it was already a bad situation. There was a misunderstanding that caused a lot of just interesting things to come out of it. And it hurt me really badly. Like it really took at my confidence. And when I got to my new job and then there was a pandemic. So like my brain had to switch focus. I was engaged at the time. So that's a whole other story. Cause I was supposed to be buying a wedding dress and, you know, planning my wedding for next few months. And
you're buying masks and toilet paper.
Yeah. There was, oh my goodness. Toilet paper thing, girl. Yeah. So I moved and I was going to my new job and there was such a heaviness from the things that I experienced. And I remember like telling my then fiance, I was like, I need therapy. He was like, why? I was like, I need therapy. Yeah. I am my brain. I keep thinking about everything that happened. I'm very analytical. And I just feel so, I feel so many things and I need therapy. And I remember I kept saying that, but then it was a pandemic and we were all adjusting to work from home and we were all, and I just started a new job and it was just all these things happening. So I delayed getting therapy until just a few months ago because, yeah. And then also time went by and you started to feel better, but then I would have bouts where I started to think about it or something triggered me at work. And I was like, I felt that what you said, the trauma of really bad, like when you've had bad situations. And so when I did go to therapy, I told her, I was like, I'm here because I want to unpack some of the things that have happened to me in different like positions. And I want to not carry that into my future. I want to be a good employee. I want to have a good career and I want to be mentally healthy. And she was like, you came in here with a purpose. And I was like, yes, because these, I've needed to come in here for a while. So yes, we're both in therapy. I recommend it. And,
I remember going into therapy and like the first thing I said to her was like, this is so overdue. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. I know I was depressed 2020. I spent 5 months alone. All I did was work.
Yeah.
Cause I lived by myself. Like it was not the best time to go visit people. All I did was work and it was really, I did hit some lows and very sad year, but very happy year.
Well, that, and it's lonely. Like you mentioned, I mean, now you have your partner, lonely. But during the pandemic, it was lonely. And I feel like that was another thing that kept me at my job because it's like, I felt like what am I supposed to do if I don't have work, if I don't have family? Like it was the one thing to do during the day.
Yeah. And so many people around us did not, you know, there was a period where like people didn't work for 2 months.
I know.
And I knew a lot of people who literally were like, I can't work. There's nothing for me to do. And I was one of the people that stayed constantly working. So there was that guilt of like, I was burned out. I was tired. My husband was working in a very people-oriented position and he lost all his gigs because everything required human contact. So he had very little work for a long time during that pandemic. And so I knew that I was in a good position. It just was hard because I was burnt out. You know what it is to be working full-time, learning a new job, and then wondering of the state of the world. Like because we didn't know.
That was the most difficult part. There was at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement in 2020, or I guess that summer, I was so emotional. And so like, I remember me and two other coworkers, we would just talk about how, like, how are you today? Cause I don't feel good. Like I'm not okay. And I actually remember telling my manager, they were like, oh, you know, you seem down, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm not okay. We're in a global pandemic. I'm home alone. There's all of this turmoil. The world is a fucking dumpster fire and I have to show up to work today and I don't feel good. Like I don't feel up for the small talk. I don't want you to look at my face. And like, I didn't want to do anything. I was very honest with them. I was like, you know, that's what's bothering me is all the stuff that's happening. And like white folks, like they didn't get it. And then they started trying to help. But the dialogue that they were sharing was about like the looters and rioters. And it just made me want to like punch them in the face virtually. So I was just like, yeah, that's not the point I was trying to make, but I'm going to go to lunch and I'll talk to you later.
I'm like, do not focus on that one thing when there's this big thing being put in your face.
It wasn't what I needed. And I remember that there was just a time, but once you see me down about something, like being that they were my only social interaction during the pandemic, cause I had no one to talk to. It like broke me a little bit because I'm like, I thought we were a fucking family or I thought we were freaking friends or I've been with you more than your spouse has in front of a stupid camera. And you obviously can tell when I'm having a bad day. And the way that you handled my emotions was like, that was the beginning of like, oh, you guys just don't give a fuck.
With the emails, like there is that email of like, this is what we think, but then there's sometimes lacking the actual
silence.
There's a silence. Yeah, there's a silence. Cause I think everybody definitely me, like for me, I think in a lot of my spaces, I have been one of the only Black people, one of the only Black women, I think currently right now, I'm the only Black person working in that department that I'm in. And yeah, I do remember how I felt during Black Lives Matter. I was emotional. I was alone for one. I was emotional. I was enraged. Like, I went to go visit my sister during that time and I was enraged. Like, she was like, what is wrong with you? Like, anytime anything was said incorrectly, I was just like, that's wrong. And like, I was enraged. Yeah. Like, I didn't even wear like it was Independence Day and I wore black. I was like, y'all, we was independent on this day. And I mean, I always knew that like the history just felt different. You know,
it was like, compounded with everything happening. I feel like, cause our emotions were on edge.
The world was not looking. We've always known we've lived in a very flawed world, but we saw things differently and it affected everyone. And it was a time. And there was a lot of disappointments in that time. I mean, it's still a time. We're still dealing.
Yeah, it's not over.
It's definitely not over, but I can understand completely what you're saying. I was enraged. I literally had to put my brain of like, I'm at work, which is like my very simplistic. We talk about the weather. You know what I mean? Like when that filter of you that, you know, is not going to talk about what's on your brain. Like I literally would go to work and I would just be that person.
I can't take the day off and I need the day off. I need to work on myself today. I'm not in a good mood. I can't be talking to you. I don't want to be on camera that day. Like I remember, but I can't be available as an employee. And that's back to the point that you made. It's like, I need now places to understand that like a true mental health, a personal day is a mental health day. No, you can't call me. No, you can't reach me. No, you can't ask me a quick question on Teams. And that's what I felt like I couldn't do. And also felt weird asking for after their response to like what was happening with like the violence and everything. It's like, you're missing the point. So if I tell you how I'm feeling, you're going to miss my point too.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to understand. Yeah. Sorry. That was like a whole other one.
No, and you were living in, you know, you live in New York and
it was,
you know,
crazy.
Exactly. It's crazy to just hear people's experience during that time, because I don't think I felt a lot of similar things to you, but I didn't necessarily have a community to share it because, you know, everyone, they just are like, that's the news. The news is always bad. And they kind of move on, but it felt personal. It felt like your brother. It felt like your cousin. It felt like people you knew. And it was a very different experience. I do remember the emotions and not necessarily feeling like I had an avenue. I had to put on a face and then I would go home and like really just be in my feelings, you know? And very interesting period. So when you talk about it, I feel understood in that I did feel very similar and I was alone and overworked and burned out. So that time feeling all the things. So I was grateful that I didn't always have a camera because hardly ever had a
camera. That was the thing too, is like I was home and I feel like I couldn't have, like I had nowhere to run from my job. That's the thing I'm learning and I'm loving the most from this new generation, is employees are enforcing and making the priority work-life balance. It's more important to me to wake up in the morning and like what I'm doing. Maybe it's selfish and some people might call it the narcissistic age, but I'm a priority to me and your company might be a priority to you. And I've had to learn to like hold people accountable for that, because I made a lot of excuses for my employers and my managers. I was always, you know, being super accommodating, thinking like, I'm just thankful to be working here. Thank you guys for having me. Like, you know, thankful for like the little kitchenette with the fucking snacks, like all that stupid stuff that I realize now. And I'm learning that now, that, you know, them accommodating or companies accommodating with all of these other things is like a red flag. Why do you have to insist that we're family?
That is an interesting, like when you said that, because I mean, I understand like why that's a thing, just because, you know, as an owner, you care about your brand. And like, you know, I was thinking when you were talking, not every company is going to make you feel certain things. Like some people will value work and home life expectations, and companies are becoming a little bit more focused on that because people want it. And then we had a whole pandemic where we had to work from home and they realized that it could happen. So, you know, you could be at a company that doesn't value that, that might not be as progressive in that area. And then you go to another company and they could absolutely value that. There are benefits to looking around. we have to remember that we have families, mm-hmm. that we have people that we love and that really do come first in our lives. I mean, there's nothing wrong with like a corporation wanting you to feel like we are a family, but there's other verbatim that would be a little bit more applicable, because I always say this to people too, because some people will literally like have strokes for mm-hmm. their job. And that's,
like, I mean, full heart attacks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to be very dedicated to something. Like, I admire dedication, but like, your health is super important. And I always think this, if you are to go, they're going to replace you in within 6 months. Everyone's going to forget you were ever there.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are people who you might be like, oh yeah, I remember that person, but like, there's no plaque. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like,
there's no hard work, hardest worker reward.
Yeah. You know, yeah. At the end of the day, it's a company and they're going to keep spinning those wheels and they're going to keep moving forward. So that's why sometimes the family aspect bothers me, because when you're in a family and you disappear, like, the people,
it's a loss.
Yeah. It's a loss. You know, there are people who passed away when you're a child that you still think about a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't really think companies will do that. So that's why I'm like, it's not a family. It's a colleague. It's something, it's someone you care about. You can have people there who treat you like family, who you have lifelong mm-hmm. friendships with, but at the end of the day, they're going to keep spinning with or without you, and everybody is replaceable.
Yeah. And to say that to say the quote unquote we're family, to me, it's always felt kind of strange, because to me, it's like, well, then now I feel like some sort of obligation to you. Like, was it you that mentioned someone that like an employee or a manager that used to call you he used to say that you're his children?
Yes, that was me. I did have a supervisor that kind of looked upon himself as like a parent to the people who worked under him. And I cringed. Like, so I mean, I still cringe when I think about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that was said once. It was said multiple times. And like, I guess like for me to think like, if I'm in charge of something and I look at everyone as my children, I'm going to have very low expectations mm-hmm. and I'm always going to think that I'm right. And because I mean, like, as a parent, you're dealing with like children.
You're the authority figure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes you are dealing, you know, in management, you are dealing with people with immaturities and you do have to kind of coordinate, but you know, looking them as equals, meaning like you're seeing their potential and treating them like the adults that they are. And the, you know, people with six degrees, like 2-3 degrees sometimes that we hold these days. There's a dynamic between parents and children for a reason, you know, like, so if you treat me like an equal, then you'll get a different expectation. So yes, not something I don't, I do start managing people, and I have done it in small cases, but when I have larger groups of people I manage, I don't want to see myself as their parent, because if I am a parent in the next 5 to 10 years, I only want to deal with one, that child, you know what I'm saying? I can't go home. I mean, I can't go home and be a parent and then go to my work and be like, what y'all doing? Like, I can't.
You will absolutely not tolerate moving forward given your experiences.
I think I need to be seen as an equal, meaning like, yes, I understand that there are positions of power, which I respect. Like, when you are a lead, mm-hmm. I will follow you, but I am an equal. I am a teammate. I'm a colleague. I am not someone you have to speak to me with respect, and I will absolutely return the favor. And, you know, that's not always every work culture. So that I will not tolerate being spoken at. Especially on a continual basis. You know, if someone does have a moment where they do something mm-hmm. once, you can, you know, and they apologize, they take themselves accountable, because that's really what we need to see in our positions of power. People taking the wrong things they do accountable, that's different. But if that is continued behavior, I can't, and I will speak out and I will set boundaries, and I want those boundaries to be respected. So that is one thing that I will not take anymore. I mean, there's probably a lot of things I won't take. I am definitely watching patterns and watching how I feel, and knowing that, you know, if I'm coming home and I'm complaining about a tiny little thing that's not even important, like, that's good, you know, mm-hmm. because it's not important. And, you know, it's just, it, those things are not affecting.
You can like shake
health.
It off. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like little woes. They're like, oh, I forgot to a label or like something silly, things that you're just venting versus, mm-hmm. or not even having anything to vent about versus like honest, bad human behavior that is affecting you. So that's one thing I will not take.
And that was part one with Nicole. So join us again next week to hear another part of the conversation. I hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as we have. Feel free to comment, like, and subscribe and share. Let us know on our Instagram page if you enjoyed this episode with us. See you next week.